Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 and 10 say, "Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow." If they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. Trust that is our desire. In our marriages, the title for our next session here is Troubleshooting Marriage. We know what marriage is. We've been talking about that already. And I don't know that I'll try to describe that more. We'll be focusing more on the action of troubleshooting as we think of marriage. What is troubleshooting? Webster's would give us a concept like this: to operate or serve as a troubleshooter. And that definition seemed rather relative to me. And so I wanted to know what a troubleshooter is. And so he gives us three definitions, and I'll just review those quickly. Number one is a skilled worker employed to locate trouble and make repairs in machinery and technical equipment. Now let me ask you, does marriage have technical equipment in it? Are there technical parts? I think we would probably agree to that and say that there are even delicate parts to marriage. The second definition that he gave is an expert in resolving diplomatic or political issues, a mediator of disputes that are at an impasse. Do we ever have issues that need resolved in our marriages? Do we ever find ourselves at an impasse and we need to look at things squarely? Number three, he gives the definition of a person skilled at solving, or I found this interesting, or anticipating problems or difficulties. Now we have moved from simply dealing with problems that exist to problems that exist and problems that we are already in to problems that we see coming. Being proactive. And so this concept of troubleshooting is one of finding resolution, seeking reconciliation, and developing a good path forward. But one of the problems that exists in this whole concept of troubleshooting is that it is only necessary in the context of trouble. If trouble did not exist for us, we would not need to look for resolution. We would need to seek reconciliation and so on. And so what we may find is an even greater problem this morning is that our title is troubleshooting, not cars or trucks or any of that thing, but it's marriage, which is directly indicating that there is trouble in marriage at times. Trouble in marriage at times. Is that fair? Is that accurate? How many of you have had troubles, greater or smaller, in your marriage? How many? Thank you for being honest. We need to face the things of life. And while we may say, yes, our marriage is strong and we're growing and vibrant, we do face troubles at times, and we need to work through them in a very practical way. So I don't separate myself from that reality whatsoever. When Brother Jonathan contacted me in regard to this subject, I was rolling this concept of troubleshooting around in my mind. And as I processed it, I realized that it is a compound word, meaning we got two independent words put together to say troubleshooting. And as my mind does, I was rolling that around. I said, well, what would happen if we switch those two words? We would be shooting the trouble, right? And then that brought me to a story. We live on a property that's been logged off, 5 or 6 years ago. Lots of brush and lots of rabbits. We have a garden. We plant things in that garden. We like to eat out of that garden, but we learned that the rabbits do too. And so we needed to solve a problem. We have a problem. We need to solve it. Well, we're in the village limits, so we can't use a 22. And so I go to Fleet Farm and buy a BB gun. We pump this thing up, and we pump it up, and there he is. He's out there. Try it again. I was running the gun. Tried again a couple times and could not hit the rabbit. Then you know what happened? My wife said, "Can I try?" Sure. I'll pump up the gun for you. And when that trigger clicked, that rabbit out there very quickly was doing dying rabbit gymnastics, doing all of his things. We're shooting trouble. And sometimes, husbands, we feel like we've got the answers, and we should be able to hit that thing, and we should. That's right, I should have been able to. And we get all kinds of things ready. But you know what? My wife shot the rabbit. You know what that led me to believe? Not just that. But to be effective in troubleshooting in our marriages, we are going to have to work together. We're going to have to work together. There are things that your wife will see that you do not see, and there are things that you see that she might not see, and you're going to have to work together. Our goal in troubleshooting is to deal effectively with the trouble. If we do not, it will fester, and it will grow, and the rabbits will get bigger, and the problems will be greater, and they will be more often. That's what will happen. We need to work together, and pride will try to change that, change our minds on that matter. We can get it ourselves, but we need to work together. Okay, so our outline for the message here is fairly straightforward. We'll identify some common points of trouble in marriages that can arise. And then secondly, we'll look at a few thoughts under the heading troubleshooting pointers. So what are some common trouble points? I do not have these in order of importance necessarily, but these are a few that I have come across, and chances are you may be thinking of different ones. But the first one I have is expectations. Unmet expectations. After you said your wedding vows, you had an expectation that your young bride would be everything to you. In fact, I heard a brother saying that just the other day to his wife here at the fellowship meal. She would do nothing to bring you difficulty or trouble. She would be instantly in support of every decision that you were trying to make. But alas, the day came when you found her sick on the couch, or you needed to make supper instead of working on your project that evening, or she backed through the garage door and scraped the van mirror, or when you shared your desire to purchase a new truck and you were going to convince her that the old one was wore out, you sensed a hesitancy on her part to be supportive of your wishes. Expectations unmet. To you sisters, did you expect your husband to be more definite in his leading? more thorough in his expressions of love, like at times of your birthday and Valentine's and your anniversary and Mother's Day and flowers. I mean, when we were dating, those come way oftener than when they come now. What happened? I expected that my husband would be timely in arriving at church and other functions, but we're often late. I expected that my husband would always be there for our family, but for whatever reason, I'm often laboring on things by myself. Expectations. Another element of expectations are unrealistic expectations. We talked about some unmet ones. The demands of life are real, but sometimes our expectations are not. May I just say that books that are written on an adult level that have a concept that the couple lived happily ever after probably are establishing an unrealistic expectation. Let's be careful with those. Proverbs 13, verse 12 says, "Hope deferred maketh the heart sick." Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. Unmet expectations bring sickness of heart, which tends to translate into trouble, because we have disappointment. Another area where we have trouble often, no, I shouldn't say that, where we can tend to have trouble is in the area of communication. We have communication breakdown. Who would have ever thought that communication would be a snare to us? If you remember back to your courtship days, we talked every opportunity we had, and we wished that mom and dad would allow us to be together more so that we could talk together more, right? You remember those days? Okay. But those have faded a little bit sometimes. We have the opportunity now to talk together all we want to, in a sense. What has happened? So thinking about communication. Communication requires a number of things, a number of elements, and I have a list here as it relates to communication. We have dishonesty can cause trouble. Am I being honest with what I'm thinking? Honest with what I am seeing? Honest enough to talk about the things the way they really are? Not just the way I wish they were. And honesty in communication creates an openness from which we can deal with reality, deal with our circumstances, with what really is happening. In communication, another element there I have is arguing, a problem point. Do I find myself regularly with an attitude willing to argue? Am I willing to argue before I actually hear? Communication will become very difficult and more broken if there is an arguing spirit in the marriage. Another element of communication is misunderstandings. Misunderstandings are an element that can become exasperated when communication breaks down. Misunderstandings are possible even while the sun is shining, while it may seem like a good day in a good relationship. But if in marriage we find ourselves with continual misunderstandings, Just consider frankly, how effective are you being in communication if you're continually misunderstanding each other? How effective are we being in communication? Frankly put, a misunderstanding is simply not understanding your spouse or them understanding you, or possibly both. We need to be careful. We as humans have a desire, an innate desire to be understood. We want to be understood. Quite often more than we want to understand. And we need to remember a couple thoughts here as we think about that. How do I know that my spouse understood me? We desire to be understood. Let's keep two things in mind. Number one, keep in mind that if your focus is on yourself and whether you are understood or not, if it is on yourself, you will have trouble in relationships. Others simply won't always get it done right for you. Number two, keep in mind that simply because the conclusion or outcome of a discussion or decision is not the way that you would have chosen or preferred does not mean that you have not been heard or understood. We sometimes use that tactic, that if it doesn't go the way I thought, I was not understood. That's actually not accurate. We need to do our best to understand each other and then come together with a conclusion. Clearer and better communication is necessary to avoid misunderstandings. Another element of communication that shows up is loneliness in marriage. Loneliness in marriage. That often comes from a breakdown of communication. How sad it is when the marriage relationship that God created, because it was not good for man to be alone, becomes a relationship of loneliness. When you go to bed at night and you turn over to go to sleep, what are the thoughts of your heart in relation to your spouse? Are they thoughts of rest and peace, love, oneness? Or do you carry in your heart the heavy weight of loneliness? If you do, do your best to communicate with your spouse. Another element of communication that enters in here is technology. In a day of advanced technology, why are there so many times that we fail to communicate with our spouse? Is it possible that weaknesses in communication are a result of too much electronic communication in our lives as a whole? We could illustrate that like this. If you, brethren, were on your way home from work in the evening and you stopped at every restaurant along the way home and you bought a sandwich, you bought a meal and you ate it, would you be hungry when you got home and you sat down to the table where your wife worked hard to prepare a meal? Would you feel like eating? No. Would not feel like eating. The problem is you've been filling that need elsewhere. And when you came home, you don't have that need anymore. And I wonder sometimes if technology is doing that to our marriages and bringing a very damaging result. That we come home and we our worlds are out there for both of us. We've done our communicating for the day and we come together in the evening and do we know what to say? I think we need to be very careful with that. God intended marriage to be more than two young people agreeing to live together, yet content to live independent lives in the scope of their friends, their interests, their work, their families, their ideas, whatever. That is a problem. That is a problem. We need to lay that down. God is calling us to leave and cleave and be one. If those principles are scooted to the side, what will be the result in our marriages? What will be the impact to our families, to the church of tomorrow? Another problem, point that can arise, number three, is in our finances. Financial problems. And finances are a necessary part of living here on this earth. It's often a subject that comes up as a point of trouble in marriage, and you may be quick to say, well, that's not a trouble in our marriage because we have enough to go around. Well, just because you have much or maybe you have little does not define whether finances are a problem point in your marriage. In fact, many times, if there is more, there are more difficulties that come with it, different ones. There can be much blessing and growth in marriage as we pull together, shoulder to shoulder, in the matter of finances and work together. I remember the day we were newly married. I was teaching school, and we were not on a big pay scale at all. We prayed about things that, unfortunately, we don't pray about so much anymore. I remember praying about buying a $15 garden hose. And today, we just go get one if we need one. We had to work together closely or it didn't work. And so as we think about those things, oh, another story that was with that. So it was in that scene that my wife felt the need of buying a glass water pitcher to serve guests at our dinner table when they came. And she came out and told me that she spent eight whole dollars on a glass water pitcher. And her new husband. Well, I think that pitcher broke since that time. But I would happily serve you water from that pitcher today if you came to our house. We gotta learn together. We gotta work together in this matter. And it has taught us many things that we would have never learned, I fear, if we hadn't faced some of those things. And yet they're a blessing to us today. That is not a trouble point for us. Husbands, thinking about finances, do we have the latest and the greatest in our business or field of work for the highest efficiency and productivity? But find it difficult to replace our wife's dishwasher that is slowly dying. Or we allow our hobbies and our manly toys to consume thousands of dollars that would be much better used for the needs of our wife and family. Brethren, we can make it very difficult for our wives in finances we need to be considerate. Another area I believe we need to guard against is when we have enough to meet our obligations satisfactorily, we're busy, and yet we saw opportunity show its face over here, and we're ready to add to our plate yet more responsibility because there's another dollar to be had. We need to be very careful because our wife looks on and says, yes, good opportunity, but I see it equates to less time and involvement of dad at home and with the family. That is another area where we have to be very careful. To you wives, your husbands work hard to provide, but simply because Walmart and Kohl's and Hobby Lobby and Amazon has things that you don't have does not mean it's your responsibility to buy one. Finances are a two-way street. Your husband works hard to provide, and you need to work hard to be efficient. You need to work together on both ends and do it cheerfully. Your finances is one area where you can be a tremendous blessing and honor to your husband. In a very practical way, you can reverence him. And it's observable, for good or for not so good. Make it good. Make it good. The fourth problem area that we can arise is an intimacy. According to Scripture, this is only for the married couple. And it is important that it remains that way. And while it is something that is a key part of marriage, it is something that a couple needs to work on together very closely. And when a couple needs to work together closely on things, it will draw the couple together if the marriage is healthy. But if the marriage is fractured or weak, a couple needing to work together closely will bring a point of difficulty and possibly even frustration. When something is difficult or frustrating to us, we tend to avoid it. That's our nature. And in regard to this matter of intimacy in marriage, avoidance will tend to bring further difficulties. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 5 says, defraud ye not one the other. That's a responsibility that we have to each other. And he goes on to say, except it be with consent for a time. The word consent gives us the thought that we're communicating about this matter. We're making a purposeful decision. Except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer. That's what he says. For that particular purpose, not for selfish purposes. And then he says, and come together again. This is not an indefinite thing. He says, come together again that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. We have a responsibility to be faithful in our marriages in every area. And this blessed element of marriage helps bring unity and oneness and emotional stability and a sense of fulfillment in the marriage union. Any lack of it can leave one feeling distant and lonely and disconnected and vulnerable. Be faithful. A next area where we can face problems is in parenting. And I don't want to get too far into this one because it gets into the subject of family and that's being looked at later today. But one of the places of trouble that can come to a marriage in regard to parenting, it can be illustrated like this. I think you can probably see this up here. Can you see this up here? All right, brethren, what do you see there? Sisters, what do you see there? 9. And some of you saw a white sheet of paper with black ink, and some of you saw a black paper with white ink. It's a little bit the way parenting is sometimes. And it can cause trouble because we see things a little differently from the perspective from which we are looking. All right, let's go on to some troubleshooting pointers quickly. Number one point for troubleshooting is identify the problem. You're going to have to lay it on the table for what it is. Identify the real problem. One of the issues that can come in marriage is when the wife sees the problem as being over here, and the husband sees the problem as being over there. And when things get really sticky, the husband sees the wife as the problem, and the wife sees the husband as the problem. And then we do have a problem. We do have a problem. We need to figure out what the problem is. And we need to, in marriage, stand together and be open our lives and be honest, squarely honest, for what there is. And take full responsibility for what my responsibility is. Each of us need to. And we need to both look at the problem. But the problem is sometimes we look at each other as the problem. And when we go to troubleshooting, it just doesn't go so well. We need to assess the problem for what it is and identify it. And then once we have identified it, we'll better be able to come to a satisfactory conclusion on what to do with it, whether we get a BB gun or whether we get a live trap or whether we get a dog or whatever it is. You know where I'm going there. The second point that I would like to give to you in regard to troubleshooting, I've pulled from a couple verses in 2 Timothy chapter 2. He's telling us there, and this is speaking to church leaders, and he's telling us that the servant of the Lord must not strive, and he says he needs to in meekness instruct those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. We need repentance and acknowledgement of truth to be able to overcome problems. We need to acknowledge the real issue. And we need to commit to change, as well as commit to work together to rebuild what has been damaged. It's necessary. We are not so much different than Adam and Eve. When God came to Adam, Adam put the blame on Eve as though she was the problem. God said, Adam, did you eat of the fruit? And he said, Eve. That wasn't the question. Adam, did you eat of the fruit? And brethren, let's take responsibility. Let's say, yes, Adam took part of the fruit. That doesn't mean that Eve didn't do what she shouldn't have. But let's be responsible. Let's acknowledge what is true, and if there is something to repent of, let's repent of it. Thirdly, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 gives us the thought of the ministry of reconciliation. And so I'm saying seek reconciliation and resolution. God has given us the ministry of reconciliation, and I know this is in the context of us being reconciled to God through Jesus Christ, and it's calling us to reach out to those about us and help them be reconciled as well. But in marriage, when issues arise, we also need to seek reconciliation and resolution. I realize in marriage that there are times that our spouse may do something we wish they hadn't, or simply something that bothers us. And at that point, we have the opportunity of either accepting it or shouldering the responsibility and facing it for what it is. 1 Peter 4, verse 8 says, "And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity covereth the multitude of sins." We should not just be overlooking sin, but I think we could apply that and say, as we love our spouse as we ought, this love will cover a multitude of maybe irks that you could see in your spouse if you chose to be critical. If something does irk you or an issue does arise in your mind, you will either need to decide to forgive and love, or you will need to kindly talk about it sometime. Don't let these things stack up in your mind. Husbands, if your work shirt came back again with the lowest button on it popped off, you will either need to tuck that thing deep in your pants and go on with your day, or you will have to say something to your wife and ask her to put a button on it. But do not let that shirt, every time you put it on, make you frustrated with your wife. You can't do that. You can't afford that. You either need to address it or accept it and go forward. But do not allow some small detail to continually aggravate you once a week toward your wife. Don't do that. Be responsible for those things. Wives, the same thing applies to you. If your husband comes home every night and puts his dirty clothes beside the clothes hamper instead of in the clothes hamper, you will either need to lovingly, day by day, put them in the hamper and not be frustrated, or you will need to say something to your husband and look at the issue for what it is. Don't let small things irritate you on a daily basis. It will militate against in oneness, and what's going to happen, what tends to happen, if those things build up, they will act like a wedge every time they arise between you and your spouse, and they will ride in your heart. And eventually your spouse might do something that will trigger you, and it will be just like a dump truck with a load of rocks, and it will unload and it will all rush out. And then you get to sit down and sort through it all. And that's okay. Sometimes you need to do that. But take responsibility beforehand and see well to it that you're not stacking those things up. Take responsibility. Be honest. Just a couple words of encouragement. It's time for me to close here. Sisters, sometimes your King Ahasuerus is busy with other responsibilities. If there are decisions that he is making, and you know, over here we should be thinking about this. If there are decisions that he is making that are very, very difficult for you, go read that account and see how she graciously came to him and addressed the matter. I found that interesting to think about recently. She prayed about it. She found a way to enter into the subject, to get his attention, not dripping like a faucet that becomes frustrating, but being able to effectively communicate what she was facing. God bless you with wisdom. Husbands, let's be faithful. Faithful kings in our marriage. Another pointer, be proactive. Be proactive. When you see things coming, deal with them before they arrive. A stitch in time saves nine. And here is another quote that I will leave with you that I learned from a wise worker. Only a fool will do the same thing twice and expect different results. mark it down. If the last time it didn't go well, don't do it again and expect a different result. You're going to need to do something different. Deal squarely with what is. Another pointer, another word of encouragement. Make a plan together. Create an intentional expectation. We have found, my wife and I have found, that places like fellowship meetings and Bible school are places where there's lots of things happening in our family, is a lot of places, and dad is still talking. And mom is in the back, it's getting late in the evening, and she's feeling a little bit like a zebra with the stripes falling off. And she's not sure where to go and what to do and how to do it. Be intentional about a plan beforehand so that you have established an expectation. You understand where you are and where you're going. Consider your marriage vows in present tense. That's a challenging one. Way back in the day, you said, I am, I will, I do, something like that. But how about words like this? I have been. Can you say that? If you went back to read your marriage vows, can you say, I am doing that? Or do we fall short of what we committed we would do? I will leave a scripture passage with you. 1 Peter 3, 7 through 11. I was going to read that, but I can't for time, lack of time here. But I just want to say, may God bless you with courage and wisdom as you face the things of life that are real. Be faithful, press onward. God has a plan for each of you. Seek His plan and His way as you face things in life that are real. May God bless you.